And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go, another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
And welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app on the Mightier 1090. Pete Gray here, Rock Cod Rick Mexa. We're live at the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup, right next to Fisherman's Landing in San Diego, where we're watching the Royal Polaris load up for a big, what is that, an 18-day?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, and they're anxious because they just unloaded a huge catch on Saturday, for sure, or Friday, I believe, when they came in, right?
Yeah, Friday.
Yeah, so going to be a great show, continued show here with Carl Schmidt from Fisherman's Landing. And we're talking some good fishing and giving away a phenomenal trip today.
Yeah, you're not kidding. When we talked about all the great fishing that the Liberty saw last season, and we're giving away an opportunity to get to go get on that yourself. A full day trip on board the Liberty at a Fisherman's Landing is our big prize at the end of the show today. If you want a shot at winning that big prize, give us a call this morning. 213-432-1090. Again, 213-432-1090. That's the number to reach us on Let's Talk Hookup. Or if you want to text a question to Carl, text away. Text only available via the Let's Talk Hookup app. There's been lots of great ones we're going to be reading here in the second hour. But, man, keep them coming. It's a great way to participate in the show.
Yeah, no question about it. And a great number of texts coming through here. We can't get to them all.
Yep.
We can't respond. It's a one-way system, but we'll get to them when we can. You have a text to read?
I do, and before I get to that, a couple of texts came through with some website requests. First one was they wanted a reread of where you find the custom Rollo or the custom rod thing for Rollo to go scope out that photo. That's on the CaptainRollos.org website.
Right, it's RolloKids.org. Rollo, R-O-L-L-O. kids.org, and you can check out all the rods there. Just click on the banner on the front,
right up top. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that says custom rod raffle, and you can check out. I can envision that Kobe Bryant rod is so cool. I can envision like a Kobe Bryant freak buying all the rest of the tickets just because he wants that rod, right?
Yeah. It's really good looking.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
really, really good looking.
Plus, it's tax deductible.
Totally.
Yeah, yeah.
Another website request, or well, more of a of a public service, seafalconusa.com was the website, not seafalcon.com.
Okay, seafalconusa.
Somebody wrote us a text saying, like, whoa, you weren't kidding. Really good-looking jigs. By the way, it's USA. Not, you know. So
okay.
they hopped on there, scoped it out, and agreed with you that those were some,
yeah,
some Gucci-looking flatfalls they got on there.
They're really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, Rick and I both got a little sampling of them, and it's like, you pick them up, like,
they're legit.
Wow.
You know what else is cool is that squid. Did you see that?
The squid,
like
yeah.
It's hard to describe, but, I mean, it looks like a squid. Like, imagine taking a flat fall. Imagine taking a flat fall and a Hoochie, put them two together, put a very fancy paint job on it. But, I mean, it looks like a squid.
What's not going to eat that,
totally,
right?
Yeah, they're really, they're really good looking.
Yeah, so check them out. SeaFalconUSA.com. We'll have a link on our I forgot to do my duty. get it on the Let's Talk Hookup links page, too, for sure. So we'll have that up there. I may have already put it up there, but I'll check it out. Phones are packed, and we have some great text coming through and some great phone calls, so let's jump into the phones.
You got it, buddy. John and Escondido is up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Hey, John, good morning.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. It's a great show as always.
Thanks, buddy.
So a couple questions for the is Guadalupe open, or is it going to be open for some of the longer-range trips? And the Shimano warehouse up in Irvine is shut down, but they show that Fisherman's Landing is an alternate for either dropping reels off or getting reels serviced. Is that a possibility? And, Pete, could I get the phone number one more time for the Rollo raffle?
Absolutely. Rollo raffle, you call Tim at 909-223-9633. Excuse me, 9631. 909-223-9631, or you can email them at win@rollokids.com. Shimano.org, either one of those. Rick?
As far as the Shimano thing goes, the Shimano facility in Irvine is still open in terms of their warehouse and things like that. I don't know about real repair. Sounds
you can,
like
you can mail them in.
Okay, so so no more drop off by hand. With that said, we are a Fisherman's Landing Tackle, a Shimano warranty service center. So the same pricing and same Shimano certified mechanics would be with us if you chose to drop them off. So either way, great choice. I always love sending reels up to Shimano, but our at Fisherman's Landing Tackle, yes, it is the same service, same price, same everything as far as warranty and service work goes. We're we're one of their authorized centers.
Yeah.
So,
but if you go on the Shimano.com, you can link that through the Let's Talk Hookup website on the link page, and you can see service there. And
so you can mail them.
You can actually ship your reel.
You can't
to
bring
them
by hand.
Yeah, if you wanted to go the direct route.
Do you have to insure them to protect them, or...?
I would probably insure them. Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's a bad call. I mean, that's just a shipping thing. So if it's if you want the Shimano guys, which man can't blame you. There's nobody better in the business. You know, package them up, bubble wrap them, ship them off. And if you don't want to deal with the hassle, heck yeah, come on by the shop and drop them off, and we'll take just as good a care of them.
Yep.
Guadalupe.
And for Guadalupe, this is what I know. Is Guadalupe going to be open? Don't know. But good news is, Katie and I had dinner with Jeff from Cedros Island Charters.
Yes.
And he said he found out earlier this week that the biggest hurdle would be Ensenada Harbor opening.
Mm-hmm.
He said that he talked to the harbor master down there. Ensenada Harbor will be open April 21st, I believe, or 22nd, which is going to be the first big hurdle to get back to Guadalupe.
Right.
Because we need to get in there to do customs, then go to Guadalupe. So that's what I know for sure. If that's the case, then I think Guadalupe looks very promising.
And Frank said last week, I believe, that he's very, very hopeful, very optimistic, and he feels very confident because of that, that it's going to happen. So you mentioned something else, too, is that your wife, Katie, who we heard from last week, is now running the booking office for Cedros Kayak Fishing, which is now called...
Cedros Island Charter Sport Fishing, I believe.
Yeah, Cedros Island Fishing Charters.
Fishing Charters,
yeah. Name changing going on.
Yeah. But you can still get it through Cedros Kayak.
Yeah, correct.
But they just want people to know that they do ponga fishing, too.
It's not just kayaks.
Correct.
It's not just kayaks. They do kayaks, pongas, combination of both.
Correct.
The whole thing.
Yeah. Yep, and then...
And Katie's doing a great job.
Yeah, she's doing awesome. But that's great news for the harbor down in Arnor Harbor.
And so, we're optimistic on that for sure.
I'll tell you too about that. You know, people would be like, of course Frank's going to say that. Frank has no problem telling you when it doesn't look good either. You know what I mean? Like he's not optimistic just for the sake of saying that.
Like last year he said that.
100%. You know, and I think that it will be. I think we will be fishing Guadalupe. One of the things we have, you know, in our favor is Guadalupe doesn't tend to bite till later in the summer, beginning of fall anyway. Right. So we've got a lot of time between now and then, and it looks like things are already stirring in the right direction, quote unquote preseason. I don't think we're gonna have any problem getting back there, John.
Yeah, and then the shark diving boats, they're extremely hopeful that they're gonna get to go back.
Their
down
trips
there.
Are all booked up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. John on the Islander, his trips are all booked up for his shark diving.
Yeah.
And he feels very confident that the island will be up and ready to go.
Yeah.
So
all right.
That's all good news. And for
good questions, John. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Yes, I did my job, and the Sea Falcon website is on the Shimano, the Let's Talk Hookup website. Mm-hmm. Go to letstalkhookup.com, go to the links page, and go down to Fishing Tackle, and you'll see Sea Falcon on there. Click on that link, and it'll take you right to the Sea Falcon website.
Awesome. Hey, a fun text came through for Carl. This is from Darren and Menifee. I've got a day and a half in May. What's the average line size and hook size for the various bluefin fishing we should be expecting with live bait? Example, 20-pound line and a number 2 hook for 20 to 40-pounders. How should I adjust if they're 40 to 60-pounders, 100-plus, et cetera?
As of right now, I would probably have a 25-pound outfit, a 50 or 60-pound two-speed outfit, an 80-pound or 100-pound outfit. I would have a variety of size of hooks from number 1 or number 2s up to probably like a 3-0 circle hook. We're just getting the season started. You just heard Aliar. Most of his fish were 30 to 60 pounds, but he had one that was gill and gutted at 95 pounds, so that was over 100 pounds.
Over 100,
The American Angler, when he was out 2 weeks ago, he had a 180-pounder, I believe it was, 185. So I would be prepared for a little of everything. Make sure, like Aliar said, bring some smaller flat falls, bring some bigger flat falls. When we get the season
Cold snipers.
Cold snipers. It's like you got a trip early in the season and things change very rapidly, so you kind of have to bring the whole arsenal. But, yeah, I think if you had those three outfits, like a 25 or 30, 50, 60-pound, 80-pound outfit to fish bigger tuna for the flatfalls or sinker rigs or whatever, and then you got everything covered from the smaller stuff.
I think if you made the investment last year in a nice, you know, 40 to 60-pound two-speed outfit, and the budget allows for it, I would have a second of that. If you have a favorite, whatever that be, Speedmaster 12, you like a Fathom 40, you like a Talica 16, whatever in that 40 to 60-pound range, I think having two of those this year is probably a big deal, so that you can have a fly line on one and then either a sinker rig or a flat fall tied up on the other. Just the writing is so on the wall. The last couple of years, that 40 to 60-pound, you know, 7 to 8-foot rod two-speed outfit has been so the bread and butter. That's like the new 25-pound rod that you use so much. It would be really nice to be able to keep one, you know, with your fluorocarbon and just a hook tied on for fly line, and then just have another one ready to go with your sinker or flat fall or whatever kind of deep presentation you
want. Speedmaster Talica 16, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, Speedmaster 12, a TAC 12, a Speedmaster, you know, anything. You know, from a, I would say from a 12 size reel all the way up to a 20, you know, whatever you like in there and wherever your budget's at. Speedmaster, great reel, relatively inexpensive, totally get the job done killer. Talica is the Cadillac. The budget's there, there's no doubt. That's the
Rolls Royce.
You got a stimmy burning, you got a stimmy check burning a hole in your pocket. That Talica 12 is where it's at.
If you don't have one or you want a second one, we at Fisherman's Landing have a full rental selection you could possibly need. I just got another 30 or 40 rods in for fishing 50 and 60. I got Fathom 40s, Talica 12, 16s. I got more Talica 20 and 25s on the way. I just ordered another 10 7.5-foot rail rods to go with all those rods. I mean,
so do you rent them as a package or do you rent them as an individual rod?
You could do individual or a package.
A package. Yeah. So you say, I want to go, I'm on a day-and-a-half trip, I want the day-and-a-half package.
Yeah. So we have like a 25, a 40, and a 80-pound outfit, which will cost you about $170 for all three rods and reels, and you can show up as is, nothing in your pot, just as you are, and we'll take care of you.
All right. So
the rental gear, that is something that has been such a change. This Big Fish is just Big Fish tackle is not the easiest to buy. I always say that because you spend the most amount of money on it, and oftentimes you use it the least often. The problem is when fisher, like you talked, Carl talked about that fish on the angler, when fish are approaching that over triple-digit size, you can catch a school-sized tuna with 25-pound line for the most part, no matter how crummy your gear is. You know, you could have a very old, not working, perfect reel. Does it work as smooth as Trinidad 14? Of course not, but you're still going to get the job done. You hook a 180-pounder on not-so-good tackle, you just physically can't get them. Like, it requires that. And so the landing stepped up so much that their rental gear is not okay. I mean, it is. It's Talica reels on graphite rods.
Top
it's,
of the line.
It's Fathom 2 speeds on Seeker rail rod. I mean, it's top of the line because it has to be. You know, I mean, that's what Big Fish requires is that real high-end gear.
So, Carl, Point Loma Sport Fishing is a sister landing. Mm-hmm. Do they have similar rental tackle, or the people that are going on day-and-a-half, say, on the new Loan or something like that, they want a rental package, would they come to Fisherman's Landing then?
I believe Point Loma has really stepped up their game on their rental packages. I think they have pretty much the same stuff as we could do now.
Okay.
Yep.
Great. All right.
All right. Well, hey, the phones are packed. Everybody's excited to talk to the boys. And we got a good buddy on the line. Scott Sherman from Snap Insurance is on the phone. What's up, Scott?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Another good show with lots of good info.
Yeah.
I had a quick question for Carl there. When it comes to the bluefin, you're talking about day and a half range. What does that equate to in miles? And then what kind of water temperature are you finding them in right now?
So right now, I probably think most of that water temperature is 58 to about 60 degrees, it sounds like, the last few weeks here.
Still chilly.
Still cold. Okay. And it's cold it's cold everywhere. It's funny, I was talking to RJ. He's bringing one of the Albacore boats back up north, and he said,
did you say Albacore?
Yeah, but he was fishing New Zealand.
Yeah, he was only 10,000 miles away.
Yeah. He's on his way home, so that's all I'm saying right there. So, and he said it's cold. But mile range for a day and a half, anywhere from, they're going to go where the fish are. 30 miles to 130, 140 miles on a day and a half is very doable for most day and a half boats if you're leaving, regardless of what time you're leaving. And you get to fish all day from sun up to sundown. And if you're fairly close to home, you get to fish till 9, 10 o'clock at night. And if that bluefin's biting at night, you know, I wasn't even on the Queen, I believe it was last year, we fished till like 11 or midnight. The fish, we were so close.
Wow.
And fished till. That's a long day from 5 o'clock in the morning to midnight.
Yeah, but they were biting.
They were biting, yeah. I mean, we had some good fishing in the morning. It was slow in the afternoon. Then 6 o'clock came rolling around, and they started picking off little schools. And the shut down at dinner time, and we just drifted for like 4 or 5 hours. And I believe Drew and maybe Billy was running the trip. I don't remember. But, yeah, we just drifted for 4 or 5 hours of the night, just kept picking away.
I love day and a half fishing, love to be able to fish into the night. But I'm very excited about that, having just a regular overnight boat in the Mustang running overnight trips, a lesser expensive option. Plus, with that fish within, you know, 60, 80 miles, you get more than enough fishing time and a lesser expensive ticket price.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be $300 to hop on an overnight trip, go fishing for bluefin, yellowfin, yellowtail, whatever. And, I mean, it's something that's offered every day of the week. You know, if you... regardless of whatever your schedule is, if you got the day off, you could just, hey, show up at 8 o'clock at night or make sure you make reservations and go fishing the next day, you know, and go have a chance to catch some quality tuna.
What's the load on the Mustang going to be?
He has 40 bunks, but he's going to take 28 people.
28? Get out of here.
Yeah, I think 28 people, $300, $310, somewhere in there, and very comfortable for that boat, you know.
Open parties like turned into charter fishing now. I love it. I absolutely love it.
I truly feel the days of fishing with giant loads on boats are just, it's done.
Yeah.
It's just, people don't want to do that anymore. They want
quality experience.
Quality, and every captain says it's so much easier on them and just way more relaxing and just...
And you catch more fish, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Less tangles, less people, less arguments. It's just a better environment, better experience on the boat.
You catch the same number of fish, but it's spread out over so fewer people. Yeah, like, yeah. I dig it.
The days of 105 people on the Qualifier 105 are over, right?
Yeah.
So... My goodness.
My best was 115 on the Bright Morning Star.
Oh, come on now.
Yeah.
You actually went on that trip?
Yeah, when it ran out of Imperial Beach Pier.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, 115.
Wow. That's like going to a stadium.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning. Let's find out what's going on the water. Our fishdope.com reporter, Captain Dave Hansen, your saltwater guide, is on the line. And this report is sponsored by... the Fish Pros, you heard them yesterday at Fisherman's Processing. Hey, when your trip returns to the San Diego Landings, they're going to be ready for you, whether it be Seaforth, whether it be here at Fisherman's Landing or Point Loma Sport Fishing. They've got you covered. And, of course, they have with Fish Pros the Market, a.k.a. FP Gourmet. They have all the spices and rubs and fish and smoked and jerky fish, their smoked cheese and their famous tuna burger and, of course, that pokey kit, too. For details or order online, just check out fishermansprocessing.com or fpgourmet.com.
That's cool. There goes the RP sliding
RP
right behind you.
Sliding out right now. Good luck, boys. 18 days. We won't see them for a while. When they come back, we'll be loaded with wahoo and tuna.
Exactly.
Right?
But we got the man, Dave Hansen, on the line, your saltwater guide. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning, buddy.
Happy
morning.
Easter. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. You,
hey, can we turn the fan off, please? I told you guys a couple weeks ago as you're leaving the studio, turn off the fan. Someone forgot. They left the switch on. It's about time we turn that fan off. But look at what's going on. Our guy, Aliar, we couldn't talk about him enough, and then he goes out there and he just shows the world, look at me. Check me out, guys. I'm ready to take these bluefin on, and there are fish to be caught up and down the coast from the Channel Islands all the way down to where Aliar was. There are fish to be caught if you just turn off the damn fan. Just turn off the fan, and we'll all be fine. There's squid up and down the coast. All the islands have a little bit of squid here and there, which can bode very well for that sea bass fishing if we can just get that water temperature to click up above 60 degrees. And get some consistent weather, I think we're all going to be very happy. There's a lot of bonita on that east end of Catalina. There was a couple of my clients that were over there yesterday fishing that east end of Catalina, had really good bonita fishing. I hear there's very, very good bonita fishing down there at Ensenada, and there's also some good yellowtail fishing in the bay there in Ensenada. It's just all about that wind. We just need that wind to stop. Look at the kelp patty fishing down below there from... what are they saying? From about 20 miles below Ensenada down to Colonnette. On the outside, there's yellowtail on the kelps in 59-degree water. I mean, come on, Pete. This is unbelievable. If we can just shut the wind off, I think, like Carl was saying, you're not going to be able to get on a boat because everything is getting booked. So you better book soon. If you don't have a private boat, you better get booked up soon because you know they're going to shut that switch off. I don't know what day they're going to shut it off, but as soon as they shut it off, the fish counts are going to explode because there's fish pretty much everywhere.
Yeah,
up and down the California
just
coast,
need the weather, and we'll get them for sure. And, of course, Danny and the boys, I've been keeping tabs on what they've been doing. They're just doing a phenomenal job over there, Danny and Jeff. Fishdope.com has all the information, all the weather information, everything you need to know to go fishing. $20 off Fishdope new subscription by using the code HOOKUPNOW. Lowercase, no space, HOOKUPNOW is your $20 code. Captain Dave, how do we find you?
Well, gang, you can check me out at yoursaltwaterguide.com. I have over 360 how-to videos. I even have the world-famous Rick Max on. They're showing you how to tie all those bitchin' knots they use at Fisherman's Landing. Guys, check out my website, yoursaltwaterguide.com, if you want to learn how to catch all the fish out there and you want to stop following up boats. I mean, the booger on the San Diego would love it if you quit following him. Just go find your own fish.
And you'll catch
find
more.
Find fish and go too. Catch them. Yeah,
yeah. Hey,
exactly.
Dave, on the side note, I know you live in Cabo. What's it like down there right now?
Oh, I'm sorry. Right now it's about 80 degrees. There's not a breath of wind on the water. The water's still kind of green, but you know what they're seeing a lot of and they're catching some is swordfish.
Ooh.
They're seeing a lot of swordies down here. The water's green. I guess they like that. According to Lasley and Grosbeck, that's their favorite color water, and they're seeing a lot. A couple of charter boats caught. I think there's been 7 caught in the last month down here. So it's pretty insane. And a lot of stripers showing up in the green water. No Dorado, no tuna yet, but, you know, it's just a matter of cleaning up that water. But there's no wind. That's the big thing, no wind.
Gotta love it. All right, Captain Dave Hansen, your saltwater guide, thanks for that multi-dimensional report, and we will talk to you next Sunday.
Yes, you will. You guys have a great Easter. And
thanks,
I'll talk
Dave.
To you guys next time.
Back
bye.
To you.
See you, buddy. Take care. All right, let's jump right back into those jam-packed phones. Everybody wants to talk to Carl. How about Ben from Golden Hill up next on Let's Talk Hookup? What's up, Ben?
Hey, good morning, you guys. How you doing?
Good.
Buddy? Great.
Just coming off a trip from San Quintin. Yeah, the water's super cold, 55 degrees down there. No yellowtail yet.
That's ice cubes.
Yeah.
It's cold.
Hey, I want to talk gear for a second because, you know, everybody's just raving about the big bluefin and stuff. So I got my Talica 25 on a 770 Graphiter, extra, extra heavy. And then I have a 16 VISX with a 100-pound hollow. And I have a Cavallo two-speed. What do you think I should kind of run on the Cavallo line-wise?
What size is the Cavallo?
The 12.
A 12, which is like a same size as like a TAC 12 would be, Carl.
Gotcha. I would go 65 pound Spectra. Then you could fish anything from 40 to 60 pound on that, you know. Then my personal rod, I would go with the Calstar, probably 700 heavy or extra heavy, I think it would be ideal. That's what we use for the rental rods. That you're going to probably fish a lot of 50 and 60 pound on that, and I think that rod will handle that really well. Or one of the maybe. Yeah,
I think that's great.
That's what I would go
now,
with.
We should talk about Carl's multi-dimensional experience here, because you've kind of tell us a little bit about where you've been. I mean, you don't just work the front office and the landing. You've kind of done it all, haven't
you?
Yeah,
he's more than just a secretary.
He's more than just, you see? Yeah.
I like to tease Carl all the time about that, working over there, because Carl and I worked in the tackle store together for 10 years, 15 years. I mean, Carl is a total wealth of knowledge when it comes to fishing tackle. And not just the tackle store either, like you're talking about, Pete.
Yeah.
I started working or fishing down here when I was 7 or 8 and started working. My brother and I started working on the Fisherman 3. I think I was 10 or 11 and he was 9 or 10. And we started working with Tim Green on the Fisherman 3. And I think I did a couple years there. Then I was like this half day stuff with back then with 70 people 3 times a day. I'm over this. And I started working on the Apollo with Jeff Jones. Rick Polak was running the boat. Started working there with him.
Worked on the Apollo for 5 or 6 years.
As a deckhand?
As a deckhand, yep. And then Kevin Ward left the Searcher to came work on the Apollo for a year or two. Then Kevin bought the Champ, went over to the Champ, got my captain's license when I was... I think I took the test when I was 17, got my captain's license when I was 18. And then started just worked on boats.
So you ran boats?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Then I worked on the Searcher with Art for...
As a second ticket?
Second ticket right. for 5 or 6 years on and off. Worked on the Islander. I've worked a whole bunch of relief trips almost on every boat out of Fisherman's Landing here and there from one time or another. Worked in the tackle shop with Rick for on and off for lots of times. I just started with the Fred Hall, helping out with the Fred Hall show. You know,
Carl would work all summer on the boats, and then we would steal them in the wintertime, you know, when things are slower, and would do, you know, he'd cameo and do Fred Hall and Day at the Docks and that kind of stuff with us, and then go back to working on the boat and vice versa.
Then worked there. Then I was on the Islander. Wife was pregnant. Father-in-law was sick. Rick hadn't just happened to mention to me that I was needed to take a summer off because there was a lot of stuff going on in my life. I needed to take a summer off for the boats and was just planning on taking one summer off. Then Rick's like, hey, there's a change at the Landing. We were looking for a manager, and he thought I would be a great fit, and I took
it
off.
It worked.
Yeah.
Carl's the perfect person for his position. Carl kind of runs everything forward that's not behind the desk, and there's just so few people that know, like, when the boats are having problems, Carl is very aware from having worked on and been on the boat. So, you know, he's, you know, he can sympathize with what the boats are dealing with, you know, because he's been there, and sympathize with the passengers are going through because he worked at the front end, kind of has done all those things. So the perfect spot to be running things. So,
and you still have your captain's license?
I just got mine renewed. I'm on my fifth issue, I think.
Wow.
That's cool.
Yeah. Congratulations. So when you talk to Carl, now you know.
Yeah.
He knows his stuff.
He knows his stuff, man. No doubt about it.
Hey, thanks for the call.
Hey, when we come back, we got more phone calls coming your way. We got more great information. You stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090.
Your vacation bucket list can't be completed without visiting the Katmai Lodge, Alaska this summer. A world-class wilderness fishing paradise on the banks of the famed Alaknak River. Get in the action fishing for all five species of Pacific salmon. King, sockeye, chum, coho, plus trophy-sized rainbow trout, Arctic grayling, and Dolly Varden, both in the Alaknak and nearby waters. Katmai Lodge's Coast Guard and CPR-certified guides are fly fishing fanatics and know how to help you reel them in, ensuring your days are fish-filled while you enjoy freshly prepared snacks and barbecued lunches on the river. Back at the lodge, enjoy fireside appetizers and refreshments each afternoon. Delicious dinner prepared by the lodge's exceptional chef. Take a quick fly-out trip to Brooks Falls and Katmai National Park for world-renowned bear watching. And check out our trout fishing specials at katmai.com. That's KATMAI.com. Katmai.com.
It's a fact. Shimano produces some of the finest fishing reels for our Southern California sport fishing. Hi, this is Doug Kern, Fisherman's Landing Tackle. We have a complete selection of Shimano saltwater reels like Talica, Speedmaster, Trinidad, Torium, and Tranx reels. Plus, we have all the best Shimano lures like Flatfall, Cold Sniper, and Orca. Our professional saltwater experts at Fisherman's Landing Tackle have the know-how to help you choose the right Shimano product for your next trip. When it comes to Shimano gear, you owe it to yourself to visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego, or on the web at saltwatertackle.com. Fisherman's Landing is the top choice in local and long-range fishing. Our hardworking crew will maximize your fishing experience. We offer the finest open party trips, the best charter boats available, and our world-renowned long-range fleet. Fisherman's Landing is a full-service sport fishing operation offering great half-day, full-day, and open party trips. Book online at fisherman'slanding.com. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
All of us at the American Angler family want to express appreciation to our regular passengers that fish with us year after year and to the new anglers that came out this last season. We realize how precious your vacation time is, and we are truly grateful that you have chosen to spend this time with us. It's important that your experience is memorable from the moment you call the office to the time you step off the boat. Hi, I'm Lori. Call me at the office, 619-223-5414, or check us out at AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com. Come fishing with the American Angler family and make a memory.
Hey anglers, AFCO Pro Captain Ben Florentino of Coastal Charters here. As a full-time guide, I'm on the water all year long. It's my livelihood. Having the right clothing is of the utmost importance to staying warm, dry, cool, and comfortable to endure whatever the Pacific wants to throw at me. Thankfully, I'm equipped with AFCO clothing to keep me dialed season after season. Do yourself a favor and check out AFCO's award-winning gear at a dealer near you or learn more at AFCO.com.
Hi, this is Scott Sherman for Snap Insurance. I'm back from City Hall and ready to help you with all your insurance needs. I can provide you with the best in boat insurance at the lowest rates. But there's more to a policy than just a low rate. I know the coverage you need and will make sure your boat and property are covered right. Work with us to wrap your home, auto, and boat policy to save even more money. We can also help you with your commercial or business insurance. Call me, Scott Sherman, at Snap Insurance, 619-908-3100 or snapins.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hook Up. Having a great time here this morning, talking fishing, having lots of fun doing it. If you want to get through, still plenty of time for you. 213-432-1090. That's how you call us on Let's Talk Hook Up or send us a text via that Let's Talk Hook Up app.
Yeah, and let's go ahead and find out what's going on. Let's get jump back in the phones.
You got it, buddy. John in San Diego is up next on Let's Talk Hook Up. John, good morning.
Happy Easter, guys. I was wondering if you could tell me the typical length of a whale rod, and does that rod, is it designed differently, the bend in it, versus a traditional rod?
Not a whole lot of difference, but the biggest difference, longer foregrip on the rail, on the rod, probably when we consider a rail rod, we're talking about a 7, 7.5 foot rod there, probably shuts off a little faster, wouldn't you say? And the way the foregrip is designed to not get beat up as nearly as much.
The biggest difference is the other thing that Carl mentioned of them shutting off faster. So a traditional regular live bait rod that you would just hang on to or belt and harness, the rod bends a little farther down the rod. You know, the bend goes a little closer to the handle. And part of that is so when the rod is in your waist and your hand is on the foregrip, the power or the majority of the pressure is closer to you, closer to your body. I always use the analogy in the shop of like holding a dumbbell. You know, you can hold a dumbbell right next to your chest and maybe you can hold it there for 10 or 15 minutes. But if you try and extend your arms all the way out as far away from you, you don't have nearly the amount of strength when that pressure is farther away from you. So a traditional belt and harness rod, the pressure is closer to your body. More the rod bends, the power is down towards the bottom of the rod. A rail rod tends to have more of that lift farther forward out the blank, which doesn't make it as comfortable when the thing is just in your waist and you're holding onto the rod. But now when you put the rod on the railing and use it as a fulcrum, there's more of the lift on the forward part of the rod because that is now, you know, now everything that's out forward of the grip is what's lifting the fish. So you have more of the lift on the tip end of the rod than on the butt end of the rod. So that's kind of like the general makeup. Does that mean you can't take a regular live bait rod and put it on the rail and kill a big fish? Of course not. But, like, makeup between the two is that. Longer foregrip, faster, less parabolic, more lift in the tip section. Not quite as comfortable to hang on to when you just got the rod in your waist. But when you put it on the rail, you've got a lot of that rod that's lifting the fish in the tip.
And a lot of that power is when you need it when that fish is straight up and down the last 10, 20, 30 feet of the battle there.
All right. Very good. Hope that helps you out. Thanks a lot for the call this morning. Great text here from Scott in El Segundo. He says, doing a three-day trip in early June and was thinking of bringing four setups, but it sounds like I should bring a full quiver. What do you think? How many rods do you really need on a three-day?
That's the question.
All of them. Everything, right? Bring the full quiver is what you're saying, Rick.
Bring it if you can, but really you probably need three or four rods for sure. You need, like the ones that we were talking about earlier, a 25, a 50, or a 60. You don't need both, but one or the other.
50 or a 60.
I'd like, if I choose one of those, I'd do a 60-pound because you always could throw some 50-pound fluorocarbon on top of your 60-pound.
Yeah. If they're going to eat 60, 50, they're probably going to eat 60,
most likely,
right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Then an 80-pound or a 100-pound. Those would be the
80-pound or a 100-pound, and which one would you err on? Which side, 100 or 80? Because there's a big difference between those
two. I would say 80. I think that's a lot more popular, okay. A lot easier to fish 80-pound than 100-pound, I would think most people would say, especially if you're not someone that's used to handling big gear. 80-pound is a lot more comfortable.
And what are you fishing on that 80-pound outfit?
Flatfall? Flatfall or a sinker rig.
Yeah, Talica 20, something like that.
Talica 20 or 25 would be ideal.
Yeah.
Then the fourth rod, I would probably have another 60-pound or 80-pound rod for a sinker rod or something.
A sinker rig.
Yep.
So what do you, when you're fishing, when they're saying biting the sinker, you're going to a 60-pound rod?
if I can go 80 pound, because when you're fishing that sinker rig, you don't know if you're catching a 60 pound fish. There's lots of times where a 200 pound roll come up and eat that thing. So you want to be prepared for whatever and get away with the heaviest rod possible to fish with. So
I have two things to say.
Yeah.
One, completely agree with everything Carl just said. To the book, agree. Two, he is such a liar if he's trying to say Carl's going on a three-day trip and he's only bringing four rods. He is just lying through his teeth. I've known this guy since I was in high school. If he thinks he's going on a four-day and bringing four rods.
How many rods are you bringing, Carl?
Obviously, I say that in fun. Yeah, like I'm just joking. But, yeah.
I'm doing a four-day later this year, and I'll probably, somewhere between 8 and 10 rods. I'm bringing surface.
What's Carl bringing? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, you covered, and again, this is all in fun, and you covered necessities perfect, and that is what you need, and really, that is all you need. But with that said, what's Carl bringing on a three-day?
I'm bringing a rod for fishing strictly a Colt Sniper, my favorite.
Which would be how big? Yeah, what would that be?
I would probably be, for that school-size fish, I'm fishing a 6480 Super Seeker with a Talica 12 probably attached to it. I would also have a surface iron rod, just because
you don't go fishing without one of those.
Yeah, you never leave home without one, regardless. So you can fish a popper or a jig or whatever. On my 4-day, I'm bringing in a 60 pound just to fish a smaller flatfall and a bigger flatfall. I have another rod for fishing a bigger flatfall that's always tied up. When I do the four rods, you could always cut and retie. But if you have the money, and when you get into this, obviously you're going to have your little niche rods and everything, so you don't have to cut and retie. That's the thing. So that's why I'm bringing a 25, a 30, a 40, a 50 pound live bait outfits with all different size hooks on there. So if the conditions change or bait changes or whatever, I don't have to cut and retie and stuff like that.
Okay.
But I'm also having, on a 4-day, maybe you'll slide into the beach and fish yellowtail, and I'm going to have a yo-yo rod set up just strictly for fishing yo-yo, a Fathom 40 with a SSR 7650 or something like that, you know?
Okay.
I dig it.
So there you go. He's bringing it all.
But again,
but that's not all necessary.
Not all.
Because you can switch top shots, you can switch shots.
Exactly.
Yeah. One thing I'll mention, too, is that we talk about, you know, flat fall fishing for that larger bluefin on the 80 or 100 pound outfit. You have to be sure to have that leader, right, guys?
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
Because if you're fishing 80 pound or 100 pound mainline, that's great, but you have to have a 130 pound or 200 pound fluorocarbon leader, because if that bluefin doesn't inhale that jig down its throat, you got to have that abrasion resistant, which is 1,000 times better with fluorocarbon than mono. You have to have it.
You're not going to break 80 pound tests.
You're not.
I mean, it's just not going to happen. Yeah. You are going to chafe through the leader, and that's the most important.
Yeah. So well said. That's totally the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, very few people could fish 80 pound and break it.
Yeah.
But the tuna, they have teeth, and they're going to chew right through it. That's why you need to fish the heavy fluorocarbon leader. Right.
So many of those bites happen on the sink. You know, it's a fish that's got a mouth, I mean, literally the size of a 5-gallon bucket when it's all extended. Like, that jig hits the back of their throat and usually hangs up down there somewhere, and your line is running over their teeth the whole time. Bluefin do have more aggressive teeth than most of the other tunas do, and they are they're so notorious for shaking their heads. They're just head-shaking SOBs. And, I mean, you see it when you're pulling a big one, and they just, you know, you see the rod loaded. I cringe every time you see somebody pulling on a big one. It's boom, 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 big giant head shakes. And you know that's just a hacksaw, you know, that your line is over with all that pressure. And that heavy leader is the difference maker.
Yeah, for sure. And how heavy?
I fish 200-pound fluoro on a big one. You know, maybe if you were fishing a smaller jig, maybe go down to 130 or so. But I just like heavy fluorocarbon.
Why not?
Yeah, exactly. That lure is falling. It's not a stealth bite presentation kind of thing. Just give them big, heavy line and big hooks are what put fish on the boat over everything else.
You might as well give yourself every advantage to land those fish. Yeah. I mean, if you're fishing lighter gear, Art on the searcher told me a long time ago, fish the right gear for the right fish. Don't drop. Yeah, you might be catching or hooking fish on 30-pound tests for 80-pound or 100-pound grade fish, but you're not landing them. So what's the point?
Yeah.
So if you're fishing the appropriate gear, give yourself every advantage to land that fish. Fish heavy as possible. Fish the appropriate gear to land the right fish.
All right. Yep. Very good. Hey, let's go ahead and jump back in the phones.
You got it. Greg in Paris is up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Greg, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Greg?
Good morning.
Hey, question came up real early in the show, switching hooks on the flatball from Carl.
I actually been helping the guys in the shop switch out a whole bunch of hooks on those flat falls. They've been using those Mustad assist hooks. Gamakatsu makes some really great assist hooks. I think you're just.
I like that assist 620 HD that Gamakatsu makes. Yeah. That's a nice hook.
Yeah. And I think I think the guys in the shop are just out of them right now. That's why right now it's so hard to get some stuff, but. Owner makes a great assist hook. Must add any of those 6.0, 7.0 size assist hooks would be ideal, I think. And make sure they have the heavy, I'm not sure what you call them, the
cord.
Yeah, heavy cord. Because if that does get in the corner of their mouth, you have some abrasive resistant there also.
Yeah.
How heavy is
the cord?
The ones we do is like 1,000 pounds. Yeah. It's not a factor. Yes.
Yeah.
Something else is going to fail before it's that. Yeah, it's more than likely going to be the guy behind the rod and reel.
And I know you guys, all the fishermen get super crazy by putting hooks on the top, hooks on the bottom. Some guys use swivels, some guys use wire. I'm still pretty, like, two hooks on the bottom. If you want to put a hook on top, great. But, I mean, normally the things...
Hooks on the bottom, though, huh?
Yeah.
That's how flat falls come.
Yeah, okay. Talking to the guys, 90%, I would say that's how almost all the fish are hooked. And most of the guys on the boats, I don't think they like all those five or six hooks on the flat fall, changing the way they fall. Or I don't know if it makes any difference or not. But I'm not a guy that likes to add and change jigs a whole lot. I mean, they're designed one way, so fish, that's how they're meant to be fished. That's how I like to fish them.
Okay.
The general consensus from our boats was a heavier duty version of how the jig comes is kind of the overall favorite. Yeah. We have seen all styles work, and we've seen all styles fail, but the general consensus, like when you buy a flat fall off of the rack, it comes with two assist style hooks hanging from the bottom. We like to keep it that way, just a much heavier duty version. Yeah. Beef up the split ring, beef up the hooks, and away you go. But again, like Carl says, seen them always work. If a guy's got supreme confidence in having 15 hooks hanging off it, get after it, man.
And
no
if
problem.
You want to come in and you want a flat fall rigged one way, come talk to these guys and they'll be more than happy to do it.
So you recommend no hooks on the top?
Yeah, I mean, that's the general consensus from our boats. Yeah. Okay. I mean, again, I'm not trying to say that doesn't work
so
just
the
fine.
So that's the connection to the rod on the top and then the hooks on the bottom.
Correct. You got it.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Yeah. And that connection on the top of the flat fall, let's get a little deeper on this, are you putting a split ring on that or are you tying directly to the eye that is on the flat fall?
Depends a little bit on how you have your rod and reel set up. Uh-huh. I would say if you've made the investment in buying some heavy fluorocarbon, I would use a crimp instead of tying just because it's real big diameter line. And crimp with a little bit of chafe gear, either a tube or a spring directly to the lure, come up about 3 feet and then crimp to a heavy duty swivel. Okay. And then tie your line or crimp your line however you want, attach your main line that way. If you don't want to... The problem with putting the leader on is 200-pound fluorocarbon is expensive. You can buy a spool of 20-pound Seaguar for, under $20, and it's no big deal. But heavy-duty fluorocarbon, it's expensive. You know, you're looking over $100 for a coil of 200-pound, and sometimes that's a hard price to justify when you only need about 3 feet of it. We sell hundreds of pre-made fluorocarbon leaders throughout the year that are just a 3-foot piece of 200-pound fluoro, and we crimp a really heavy-duty split ring to one end, so then you could have your flat fall that you already own, grab one of those leaders, and just attach the split ring to the eye of the flat fall, and then we've already made the crimp connection to the swivel and to that split ring. So just split ring it on and then tie your line to the swivel.
And you're ready to go.
And if something reason they're starting to bite a bigger flat fall or a smaller flat fall, you could change that flat fall off that leader really easy.
Oh. Right. Yeah, you could keep your line attached to the top end of the leader, and then you just unsplit the split ring and put it on to a different jig.
Yep.
All right. Very good. Hope that helps you out. Thanks a lot for the phone call.
That was a good one. All right. How about we jump back in and talk to Mark, who's calling us from Santee this morning. Hi, Mark. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, and happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you.
I got two questions. I tried to get in yesterday, but I couldn't get through. If you have fish tuna fish in the refrigerator after you take it out of the freezer and you defrost it, how long could you keep it in your refrigerator before you use it? And the second question, is there going to be a day at the docks this year?
No day at the docks.
No day at the docks of the year. And from listening to the show, I think if you when you get that fish defrosted, probably about 3 days in the refrigerator, I would say, before you'll have to use it, before it kind of goes bad. I think 3 days is kind of the common answer there, you know. But you could take a look at it and smell it. And see.
I think you'll know when not. And the biggest thing that Sean kept talking about yesterday is just getting – don't let that – juice, blood, water that comes out of the defrosting. Don't let it sit on or soak in that meat. So I think that's the biggest deal is just make sure you're keeping it dry and not in there. So wrap that thing with paper towels while it's defrosting, and it's going to continue to, what do we call it, secrete or, you know, put that moisture, you know, out, and you just want to get that off of the meat. So wrap it in a paper towel, and if it's going to be a day or if it's going to be 2 days or going to be 3 days, just change it like you would anything else. You know, go in, unwrap the paper towel, wrap it back up on there. I think the biggest thing is just keeping it out of that muck.
Yep. Hey, good luck. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. A good text here relating to what we were just talking about from Alan in NorCal. When using smaller flat falls, do you drop down from 200-pound fluoroliter to 100-pound or less, assuming they're using it during the daylight hours? What do you guys think? Carl?
I'm with Rick. Maybe drop down to 130-pound fluoro or 100-pound fluoro, but I wouldn't go any less.
Agreed.
I don't know how many times guys are fishing. I've seen catching 30, 40, 50-pound great fish, then next thing, you know, 200-pounder, 150-pounder comes swim by and eats your flat fall, you want to be prepared.
Okay.
I wouldn't go anything less than 100.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. Good question, man.
Yeah, great question. How about next up, we talk to Don. He's calling us from Woodland Hills this morning. Good morning, Don. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. This is really a great show. Two questions for you. Number one, Carl, has there ever been any thought about putting the bunk layouts up on the Fisherman's Landing website for those that like to choose our bunk ahead of time? And then the other is, typically I tie, you know, my fluorocarbon directly to my Spectra. If I wanted to last minute put on, 40, 50 feet of mono, what connection would you use to the Spectra?
RP knot or Don Collins knot, whatever they want to call that thing. I mean, that's the only knot I ever used it now, unless I'm doing a splice or something like that. But just an RP knot, it's simple, it's easy. You could tie it really fast, or you can even have a crew member that could tie it probably under less than 30 seconds. If it's really busy, they can tie it, I'm sure, with their eyes closed, hands tied behind their back type of deal. It's easy. Yes, we are working on some new additions to the website, and the bunk layout hopefully will be on the website here in the next couple months. I know you could go to some of the boats and see, like, the bunk layout, but we're trying to figure out how to make that really nice looking and make it very easy so you can see the bunk layout for all the different boats.
So a lot of the boats actually on their own websites have a bunk layout.
Yeah, you go to the Tomahawk, you go to the Searcher, you go to, I believe, the Queen has their bunk layout on their website now and stuff. And you could always, if you just do a super, say if you're on the Queen or the Condor, whatever boat, if you just Google whatever boat bunk layout and you go under images, it will pop up under Google Images, and you can find that also. But we are trying to do it so it will be on the website. So because almost every single boat we have, we do bunk reservations.
You do?
Yeah.
So when you make your reservation?
Yeah, if you go
so
online.
So if you made your reservation for July, can you pick your bunk?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
So that's cool. It avoids the fighting and the rushing down to the boat and just trying, like, everyone wants their bunk. I mean, so you could always, hey, you book your reservation online. As soon as you do that, give us, hey, I'm on whatever boat this particular day. We'll say, okay, these
are
the bunk.
You have to call for that.
You do have to call.
Yeah, if you book your reservation online,
call us and we'll get your bunk reservation and get it saved on your trip and you're set to go.
What does it take to get a reservation? Like, deposit wise, you got to pay for the whole thing. You put X amount down. How does that work?
So if you do online stuff, it's always 100% reservation, regardless if you're one person or three people or 10 people. If you're calling over the phone, two people or less, it's a 50% reservation, regardless of length of trip. Most of our trips that we book through the landing is going to be a 3-day or a 4-day trip or shorter. So two people or less, 50% reservation. Three people or more, 100% reservation, and you could come down, do it in person, over the phone, or online.
So 50% of the ticket cost.
Yep.
get
two or less.
Two or less. Okay. Three people or more, 100%.
100%. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just because that, if you cancel that, then that hurts.
Yeah.
I'll take 10 reservations, please.
Yeah, exactly. And if 10 reservations, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, got it. Cool. Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out what lucky guy's going fishing on the Liberty. We're giving away a full-day trip. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090.
This is Brandon Hayward with Bite Sport Fishing, here to talk about Parker Boats and the crew at West Coast Marine. In the spring of 2013, I bought my first Parker. When it came time to rebrand from one-man charters to Bite Sport Fishing and add my fleet and start running out of Davies Locker in Newport Beach and Fisherman's Landing this summer season, I chose a Parker. When clients ask why I chose Parker, I always say, I could have had any boat, but my 2320 is perfect for my white sea bass, offshore, and lobster program. Almost 6,000 hours on my 2320 pilot house over the past six seasons has shown me that Parker is the ultimate West Coast charter boat. It's what customers expect. These out workhorses offer everything anglers need, as in a stable platform with huge deck space for our West Coast style of live bait fishing. Parker's a big reason why I run more charters than any other small boat operation in Southern California. I like my 2320 so much that I bought another one. And while you never know what's going to happen with fishing, I know it won't be my last Parker I buy from West Coast Marine. If fishing isn't something you do but who you are, then Parker's for you, be it a one-day charter or a lifetime of ownership. If you're ready for a new Parker at a fair, upfront, and honest deal, you need to go see Kevin Kelly at West Coast Marine. Check out their inventory and information at westcoastmarine.com.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest that's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now with stores throughout Southern, Central, and Northern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
Great fishing is what Seaforth Sports Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Doe, Pride, Polaris Supreme, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. To charters or schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Welcome back. All right, it's time to find out the big winner of our Let's Talk Hookup grand prize of the day, a full-day trip on board the Liberty at a Fisherman's Landing going to Greg in Paris. Greg, congratulations. You are going to love fishing with Taro and the boys on the Liberty.
When they're back up, which will be May.
Beginning of May, and from the water lineup, that's almost a brand-new boat now.
Right on.
Wow, going to be great.
Those guys are working their butts off.
Yeah, a lot going on at Fisherman's Landing right now. You already heard Carl earlier in the show. If you're out on your reservation, especially weekends, you're out of luck, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
There's still some dates in there.
There's still dates for charters. Oh, yeah. There's plenty of open party stuff, but for charters, it's...
For charters. Yep. You're talking charters. So open party stuff, you can still pretty wide open.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
So how do you get on a trip?
Give us a call, 619-221-8500. Talk to one of the guys in the reservation office. They'll be more than happy to hook you guys up. Fishermanslanding.com. You could always find the full schedule up there for the regards of Searcher, Shogun, Liberty, Dolphin, any of the open party boats. We do have the Outrider scheduled for this Friday, Shogun this Wednesday night, and Friday night for the Shogun. And the Searcher will be doing full-day trips starting Friday.
Friday morning.
That's going to be so cool.
Yep.
Yeah. So Friday and Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I know it was pretty full on Saturday, but there were availability on Friday, right?
Yep.
Yeah, on the Searcher for that full-day trip.
Absolutely.
And they'll be running that until the Liberty comes back online.
Back up online. And make sure you have a passport or passport card. The only thing, two things that work. No Sentry cards, no green cards. No, you have to have a valid passport or passport card.
Passport or passport card, and that's because you're fishing in the biosphere.
Correct.
But Fisherman's Landing handles all the technicalities of the wristbands and everything.
Yep, so, correct.
All right, great. All right, Carl, thanks for a lot for the grant.
Great
Thank
job.
You for listening today. Thanks to Andrew on the phones and the board, and thanks to Adam for all he does on the Let's Talk Hookup app. Next Saturday, Rick and Ted from Gamakatsu and Sea Falcon will be here. Going to be a great great show. And then next Sunday, travel insurance expert Bob Dawson will be here. Thanks for listening today, and we'll see you next week right back here on the Mightier 1090 and the Let's Talk Hookup app.